Blafley is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including the book Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and right in your children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Common Core is the name of the new school curriculum that government will be forcing on all school children. But there is one aspect to Common Core that parents find particularly objectionable. Common Core also means gathering and storing all sorts of private information on every school child into a longitudinal database from birth through all levels of schooling, plus giving government the right to share and exchange this nosy information with other government and private agencies. This type of government surveillance and control of individuals is the mark of a totalitarian government. Common Core reminds us of how Communist China gathered nosy information on all its school children, stored it in manila folders called dangans, and then turned the file over to the kid's employer when he leaves school. Several years ago, the New York Times published a picture of a giant Chinese warehouse containing hundreds of thousands of these folders. That was in the pre-internet era, when information was stored on paper. Now data collection and storage are efficiently managed on computers. Common Core is encrusted with lies. It is not, as advertised, written by the states. It is a national project created in secret, without any input from teachers or state legislatures or local school boards. It is not internationally benchmarked. That never happened. The readings assigned in the Common Core English standards are 50% informational texts instead of great American and English literature and classics. The result is that Common Core readings are very political. One suggested reading is a sales talk for government health care, such as Obamacare. Another suggested reading selection is global warming propaganda.
Are you a college student eager to stand up for your conservative beliefs and stand against liberal ideologies? Do you want to build a network with other conservative students? Don't miss the annual Eagle Forum Collegian Summit, July 18 and 19 in Washington, D.C. It's free to students who register in advance. Go to eagleforum.org and click on Collegians. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
In these unpredictable times, you can never be too prepared. Mentally, physically, financially, agriculturally. Real people, real problems, real activism. Welcome to the Bob Tuscan Radio Show with your host, Bob Tuscan.
Let's see if we can avoid talking about the lamestream media's distractions today. Welcome. It's another edition of the Bob Tuscan Show, and we got a lot to talk about. In the first hour, I have a very special guest. It's none other than Mark Dankoff, and I'm really looking forward to this. We'll bring him on in just a second, but first let me preview. Next hour and the hour after that, we have 3 hours here on Saturdays. If you don't get any of the hours, tell your local stations and program directors to pick them up. We are now syndicated across this great nation, and, well, we've always been syndicated around the world. So lots of good stuff happening with the Bob Tuscan Show. Despite the odds, despite the controlling paradigm, the censorship paradigm, we are trying to broadcast to more of an audience than ever before, and we'll continue to aspire to do so until they drag us off to a FEMA camp or whatever else they might take us to. Next hour, we're going to talk with an open lines platform to you about anything that's on your mind, as well as a look at homeschooling, which is a big part of my research that I've been doing. Not just homeschooling, but schooling in general. The indoctrination of our youth today is a big part of the problem, a root of the problem. And it's one of the reasons why I feel so many people out there are so brainwashed and not able to see, what's going on, see things clearly, call a spade a spade. So we'll get to that and so much more in the second hour. In hour number three, we'll have our regular appearance with Ty Bollinger, Outside the Box, taking a look at cancer and all this other madness, and looking at actual solutions, not more poisons. But this hour, as I mentioned, we have our special guest with us, Mark Dankoff. He might be no stranger to you, but if he is, well, Mark, who the hell are you?
Well, I would imagine that's been answered many, many times in the Republic Broadcasting Network, Bob. I go back with RBN a long way. And, of course, my audience with what I'm still doing with Mark Dankoff's America is largely what it used to be, only it's expanded. It's expanded beyond the very fine people at RBN and American Free Press, people connected to those outlets that have always been a part of my fan base. But now I've been very much involved in international media. Mark Glenn and I are among those that are doing a lot of work with Iranian media and with Russian media. I've occasionally had a couple of forays into Malaysian media, where we're getting a lot of international attention that wasn't the case when I was with RBN, because as people are finding out about our message, I'm getting more hits from people that are watching what I'm doing, both on the radio and in terms of articles that I'm posting. It's really broadened the scope of my outreach. Now, the downside of it is I hear from so many people that it's a lot harder to keep up with email now and to respond to people in a timely fashion. It's kind of put a dent in some of the things I used to do in regard to print journalism, but I have just finished a major project that won't be published for a couple of months, that deals with the whole subject of American-Iranian relations and comparing that to the relations between the United States and Japan prior to the outbreak of World War II for the United States. I'm looking forward to the day that that's published, because when folks really get into that subject, they'll connect the dots on this thing like nothing has facilitated their connection of those dots before.
Yeah, you know, we had a roundtable discussion several years ago, myself, you and Mark Glenn, of course, and we talked about the forthcoming war with Iran that has yet to happen, knock on wood here. Where do we stand with that? Are you still afraid of that being an inevitability, or do you think that we can avoid that crisis?
Well, I think it's certainly avoidable in terms of sane policy. It's entirely avoidable because I don't think the Iranians truly perceive the average American to be their enemies. I think as far as the present regime in Iran is concerned, or anyone else who's been involved in running that country in the last however many years, has ever had a true reason to have animosity toward the average American. The problem continues to be that our foreign policy is being run by Israel. Our foreign policy is being run by the Zionist lobby in Washington, D.C. and New York. Our foreign policy continues to be run by the central bankers and the Wall Street folks. And as long as that's going on, we're going to have an acrimonious relationship with the government of Iran, along with many, many other governments around the world. I think the particularly poisonous character of the relationship that we have with the present regime in Iran is primarily the fault of the United States and not Iran. I will contradict Fox News at that point. And I think when you look at Operation Ajax, the American overthrow of Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh in 1953, and all of the published information that we now have about what really happened then, it's very clear that the United States in Britain are among those who in the 20th century have had a particularly nefarious impact on things going on in Iran. I think we need to evaluate the revolution of 1978 and 79 in terms of what we did in 1953. And frankly, again, in contrast to Fox News and all of the Zionist propaganda in American media generally, the Iranian government over a period of quite a number of years, including recently, has made serious overtures to the United States to repair the relationship, to engage in legitimate dialogue, and for there to be an understanding that this present course that we're embarked upon, largely because of Israel, that is threatening a conflict, is something that need not be, it need not happen. Now, the fascinating thing, as probably many of your listeners already know, is that the polls overwhelmingly show that the average American is sick of what it is that we're doing in the Middle East, Central Asia. The latest Quinnipiac poll, I think, showed that something like 70 to 75% of the people of this country want nothing to do with this interventionist policy that we have going on in Syria now. Well, we're actually using the most extreme Wahhabic elements and jihadic extremists, including many of the Al-Qaeda people, to overthrow Prime Minister of Assad.
Wait a second. I thought those were the terrorists. I thought we were supposed to be against them.
Exactly.
What? I'm confused.
Exactly. And that, yeah, well, you should be confused because it's a crazy policy. It's like, well, these are the bad guys that did 9/11, according to the official story, I emphasize. And these are the bad guys that caused us to go into Iraq in 2003. Even though, of course, that's nonsense because Saddam Hussein was an enemy of Al-Qaeda. He was an enemy of these jihadist extremists. Then, of course, this Al-Qaeda thing is supposedly the reason that we went into Afghanistan. Now that Bin Laden, maybe that was a Freudian slip. Now that Bin Laden has been taken care of, now that Al-Qaeda has virtually no presence in Afghanistan anymore, we should be getting out of that country, but we're still there. And now, as you've pointed out, Bob, both when you look at the elements that we're working with in Libya, in conjunction with this illegal NATO intervention in that country. And now with the types of elements that we're working with to try and overthrow this Alawite Shiite regime in Syria, this is clearly directed at Iran. It's an insane policy. It's an immoral policy. It need not be. And frankly, when you look at what is driving us to do these various things, first and foremost, until the power of the Israeli lobby is denuded in this country and denuded in Washington, D.C., and denuded in the news media.
We got to take care of them, Mark. We got to take a quick break. And speaking of Libya, there's something big in the news now. 1,000 inmates escaped from a Libyan jail. Jeez, I'd have to wrap my head around to see what that means for geopolitics. But we'll continue talking geopolitics with our special guest, Mark Dankoff, on the other side of this quick break.
The Bob Justin Show. Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit. The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Through their ministries of propaganda, each took complete control of the theater, the movies, the radio, every cultural activity and every channel of information.
Well, times is tough, all right.
All right, we're talking with Mark Dankoff today on the Bob Tusky Show. Now, Mark, I'm sure you recall this guy, Patrick Clawson.
Yes.
The lobbyist from
the Washington Institute for Near East Policy.
Yep, that's the one.
Mr. Israeli frontman himself. Sure, I know who Clausen is.
It's a spinoff from AIPAC, from what I understand.
That's basically what it is. The Washington Institute for Near East Policy might as well be officially linked to the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. And, of course, Clausen is part of a very, very sordid network in Washington that links to all kinds of people, mm-hmm. including the Mujahideen-e-Khalq-linked Iran policy. Let's see, what do they call these people? The Iran Policy Committee or the Iran Policy Congress or whatever it is that is, in fact, linked to a guy named Raymond Tanter of Georgetown University and Claire Lopez, who cross-references as an agent of the Central Intelligence Agency, by the way. But when you look at the whole history of organizations like this, their financing and their basic influence in Washington emanates from Israel and the Israeli lobby. And, of course, Clausen is a part of that. So is the Washington Institute for Near East Policy.
Well, I had the chance to interview Patrick Clausen, actually.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, right? I used my Jewish connections, and I mustered up an interview with him. Of course, I'm joking, because although some have accused me of that simply because I come from a Jewish family, because all people that come from a Jewish family automatically have the phone number to Patrick Clausen, right? This Zionist lobbyist shill, as you mentioned. No, I simply looked it up online, not rocket science here, and I called him up. And I talked to him about a couple of different things. I want to play an excerpt of my call with him, my talk with Patrick Clausen. Of course, he was in the headlines a while back for saying that a conflict with Iran would have to be initiated with some sort of false flag. He didn't quite say that, but he started to talk about all the past false flags that have brought us into several conflicts. And one of the things we talk about, Mark, in this short clip on the play that I want your take on is the Mossad's role in 9/11, as well as the Mossad's role in, covertly going into Iran as we speak, trying to muster up some sort of conflict for another war with that country. And let's see here if I can get to the choice parts here without having to play the whole thing here. I might skip around, but Mark, I think this is interesting, and I want your take on it, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Or one, which is the same episode. And I think that it would also be if, in fact, the confrontation with Iran continues, that I would hope the way the situation evolves is that if diplomacy is not going to be successful, that we can be sufficiently patient and wait long enough that if there has to be a war, that Iran is the one that starts the war rather than us starting directly. Give several examples about that.
All right, so he tries to explain his comments that he gave there, and let's see. The part I want you to hear, though, is where he openly acknowledges the Mossad's role in both overt and covert operations in the Middle East, namely with Iran. He even mentioned Stuxnet and the viruses that have been used by the Mossad that have their footprints all over it. Let's see if I can get to the exact part here.
That we wait and see if they're prepared to settle or if instead they start a confrontation.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned real quick that the Mossad is involved, as we speak, in covert operations. They've taken responsibility openly.
So the United States has been involved in sabotage of the Iranian program. We've acknowledged that in the court, and as a result of a complicated court suit. The United States has been involved in illegal overflights of Iranian territory with the drones. The United States has been involved in recruiting Iranian who worked in the nuclear program. There's a gentleman who showed up here in Washington, D.C., and then was silly enough to go back to Iran. So the United States has been involved in the shadow war. Someone who spent some time at the Washington Institute named David Crist wrote a book about the Twilight War, he called it. He described a whole lot of things. David Sanger, the New York Times, has written an account in which he gives, I think, a reason to think that President Obama was very involved.
All right, so there you go. He's openly acknowledging a covert war, and more of an overt war at this time, with Iran. What's your take on where, you know, they're headed with these operations trying to stir things up?
Well, this gets into the written project of mine that has been completed, and it will come out in 2 or 3 months from now. And it's going to be the basis for a bigger project that I can't talk about over the air right now precisely. But I would point all of the listeners to two sources that will give us historical context for what it is that Patrick Clawson is talking about here. We go back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, don't we? Robert Stinnett's book, Day of Deceit, it's about FDR and Pearl Harbor, goes into all of the details, all of the classified documents that Stinnett obtained by a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, plus the fact Stinnett's own knowledge of these operations at the time, because he was a Navy cryptologist in a network, a secret network, that went undetected as far as the public was concerned for decades. What that network was all about was keeping Japanese military communication under day-to-day surveillance. Now, that's important because the United States has acknowledged for years that we had a program called Operation Magic that was monitoring Japanese diplomatic traffic. But now, through Stinnett, we know absolutely many of the details of the U.S. Navy's cryptology operation directed at Japanese military communications that prove exactly what it was that Franklin Roosevelt and Ab Stark and General Marshall in particular knew about the activities of the Japanese fleet under Nagumo's direction as it left Hidekoppu Bay, Japan, at the end of November of 1941, and the time that it arrived at the so-called Prokofiev Seamount, 200 miles north of Oahu on the morning of December 7th. Now, this is important because this is just, again, the tip of the iceberg, because what we discover is that in Stinnett's book, there is a memorandum written by a lieutenant commander named Arthur McCallum, who is the head of the Far East desk of the Office of Naval Intelligence at that time. McCallum was fluent in Japanese because he was the son of Baptist missionaries, American Baptist missionaries in Japan. And McCallum basically handed Roosevelt what Roosevelt requested, and that was the 8 specific points that McCallum felt, if accomplished by FDR, would result in what FDR wanted, which was a war with Japan for several reasons, and to provoke the Japanese into doing it, and to quote Secretary of War Henry Stimson in a meeting with the President of the United States that was also being attended by Cordell Hull, the Secretary of State at that time, General George Marshall, the Army staff, was there. Statement of Stimson's at that secret meeting that was recorded in writing, that we should quote unquote maneuver the Japanese into firing the first shot, sounds like the same sort of thing that Patrick Clawson, of course,
it's almost identical.
It is identical.
It's the same exact thing. Mark,
yes.
Got to hold it right there. We'll come back with another nice long segment. Mark Dankoff here on the Bob Tuscan Show.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey, and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Seems the louder we're singing, the less they're hearing. Babylon got them so mindless they can't see Armageddon is nearing. I try to shake them to wake them, but they say they'd rather be sleeping. So don't be surprised if my eyes can't disguise that inside me my spirit is weeping.
We're talking with Mark Dankoff on the Bob Tuscan Show today for this hour. And, of course, next hour we have a great platform for you to talk about whatever is on your mind, as well as a look at unschooling or homeschooling or, I don't know, critical thinking, a way to provide an education in which it's not an indoctrination of our youth. That will be coming up next hour. And then for the third hour of tonight's show, we have a great talk with Ty Bollinger ahead of us, and you're not going to want to miss that, talking about cancer, health, and so much more. Now, we were talking about the Iranian conflict and how Patrick Claussen, the guy who was, the red-haired guy, you might not remember the name, but you'll remember the remarks he made about a possible conflict with Iran that needs to be started with some sort of, well, Pearl Harbor. A lot like the Project for a New American Century and their open calls for a new Pearl Harbor, shortly before 9/11. Who can forget that? Well, Patrick Clausen, when I talked to him, speaking of 9/11, it seems he was very much aware of the Mossad's role with that false flag, and he acknowledges it, believe it or not, in my interview with him. And I'll play this clip, and then I'll let Mark branch off from this and get into a whole bunch of good stuff. Here it is, Patrick Clausen being asked about the Mossad's role with 9/11.
But my question is, you know, we've had this case, but where is the case about the Mossad agents that were found on the Washington Bridge and in fact reported by the mainstream media to have been involved with 9/11?
I find that extraordinarily implausible. And I would just say that I would defer to the 9/11 Commission, which I think had a much more detailed investigation of this than anyone else.
So I couldn't tell if he said implausible or plausible, to be fair here. But if he's acknowledging the Mossad's role in all these other operations, and we know that they were, according to the 9/11 Commission report even, I'm not sure they made the Commission report, but we know that as a matter of public knowledge, the Mossad was found on the Washington Bridge. You would think he might be privy to this information, Mark.
I think the operative word here, well, a couple of things. Again, just to briefly reference Pearl Harbor again, Dave, by Robert Stinnett, is one place to look about the cryptology and the electronic surveillance of the United States against Japan that fully reveals how much Roosevelt and Admiral Stark and General Marshall knew about all of this. But perhaps even more critically is the release now through publication of President Herbert Hoover's diary on his own presidency, but that of Franklin Roosevelt, and about 50 pages of that diary gives us the run-up to Pearl Harbor. And when you read the specific things that Hoover was privy to that he published or that he wrote about in his diary that lay dormant for almost half a century before it was published, we see the extent to which the American people have never been told but the diplomatic chicanery that was going on with Roosevelt, and with Roosevelt specifically, in regard to ensuring that an honorable settlement, a peaceful settlement with Japan, would prove to be impossible to reach, to obtain and to reach, because of the attitudes of Roosevelt. And that if the average listener of our show here could read those materials in Hoover's book, which he or she can now, because you can obtain the book, I believe, through the Hoover Institute, we see that the policy of war with Japan was on the front docket with Roosevelt from the beginning, and that it not simply involved what virtually everyone today acknowledges was Roosevelt's desire ever since the Tripartite Pact was reached between the Germans and the Japanese and the Italians in September of 1940. That was followed swiftly by the McCollum Memorandum of October of 1940, which understood that once the Tripartite Pact went into force, that a war with Japan would give Roosevelt the backdoor entrance into war in Europe that Roosevelt particularly desired. But even more importantly, as I'm going to point out in this presentation that I've just finished that will be published in a couple of months, Operation Snow was something going on that involved Soviet moles in the Roosevelt administration, almost all of them Jewish, by the way, including one Lithuanian Jew by the name of Harry Dexter White, who was working for the Soviet KGB at the same time that he was an advisor to Franklin Roosevelt. And Harry Dexter White in particular, along with several other people, had been tapped by the Soviets to influence Roosevelt to ensure that Roosevelt got Japan to attack the United States, because that would guarantee that Japan would not join Hitler in an invasion of the Soviet Union. And so what you had was a situation where the other aspect of Pearl Harbor that is not understood by many people is not simply that, yes, it was arranged and provoked by Roosevelt to give the backdoor entrance that he wanted into this war in Europe. It also served Joseph Stalin's objectives and the objectives of worldwide Jewry and many Jews in the United States who were pro-communist and who were pro-Soviet Union and pro-Stalin, who wanted the United States to enter World War II, A, against her, but perhaps just as importantly, with Russia, in an alliance with the Soviet Union, an alliance with Stalin, which fit the agenda of the Jewish lobby of that time. Now, of course, that isn't my reading at all of what fit the foreign policy interests of the United States at that juncture. But the point is, even at that point, the what's now coming out about Operation Snow and Harry Dexter White, and this is just the beginning of this process, is going to show the full extent to which Roosevelt's administration was infiltrated with Reds, and these Reds, in many cases, were Jews, Harry Dexter White being the most obvious example. This is how nefarious all of this becomes, and I think Mark Weber of the Institute of Historical Review is largely correct, that when you really analyze World War II, the two biggest winners out of the whole thing were the Jews, and the conditions then becoming ripe for the establishment of the Zionist State of Israel. And then, of course, the other big winner was the Soviet Union, which, of course, thanks to Roosevelt, had all of Eastern Europe just handed to it on a platter at the conclusion of the Second World War at the so-called Yalta Conference. So
Yalta Conference, huh?
The Yalta Conference, exactly. and as you look at all of this, this gets back now to our buddy Patrick Clawson of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. The man is virtually saying that he and these other people that he works with at WINEP are Israel first people, and this gets into the T word that nobody wants to get into, but I'll use it on this broadcast, and that's treason. When you look at all of the nefarious things that the Israeli lobby has done that have involved compromising the people and the security of the United States, just a few come up. The Levon Affair in 1954 in Egypt is one place to look. The Meyer-Lansky crime syndicate's role in the assassination of John Kennedy for reasons that were very well known to David Ben-Gurion and that involved the Israeli nuclear program at that time at Dimona. Michael Collins Piper's book, Final Judgment, is the definitive source, I believe, on this. Mordecai Vanunu, the world-famous Israeli nuclear dissident, basically affirms Piper's judgment that the Mossad was the ultimate power behind the Kennedy assassination. And it's noteworthy that Meyer-Lansky, the head of the Jewish crime syndicate, that helped to finance Menachem Begin's bombing of the King David Hotel, among other things, in Jerusalem, was very much involved in what happened to Kennedy, and that Meyer-Lansky had been Franklin Delano Roosevelt's chief liaison to the Batista regime in Cuba, which, of course, these anti-Castro Cuban exiles were provably, clearly very much involved in what happened to John Kennedy.
Of course, and many of them were Jewish. I grew up in South Florida, and a Jubin is not a, that's the name we give them. It's not an unlikely suspect.
Sure, a more than likely suspect, I think, if we look at Piper's book on this. Yeah. And then, of course, the USS Liberty is the most glaringly obvious.
Sure, and let's get to that in just a second, Mark. Sure. I'd love to talk about the Liberty. Folks, and we're coming up to the 50th anniversary, and it's just around the corner of the Kennedy assassination. And leading up to that, we'll do a whole show dedicated to that, at least a whole show. Because a lot like 9/11, it's still relevant, even all these years later. You know, 50 years later, 9/11 will still be a relevant thing to talk about. And I just want to point out, Patrick Clawson, not a Jew, not a Jewish guy. So there are many Jews with a lowercase j, perhaps, that are just, useless eaters, goyim, a lot like those out there who are Gentiles. So you can be a criminal no matter what background you have. Stand by, folks.
The Bob Tuscan Show.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
The free and independent states of America were born July 4th, 1776. The 56 delegates signed the Declaration of Independence. Congress ordered it engrossed, sent to the several assemblies, conventions, committees, councils of safety, and several commanding officers of the Continental Army. After the war, several nations traded with the free United States of America. Any agency, officer, or employee acting as if the declaration were void or obsolete is without the right and the consent. They place themselves as an equal to the Creator and are warring with Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution and with the people. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendovite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
To their names can be added those of hundreds and thousands of others who stood in the way of the new order.
Right now
isn't what we're building for.
Talking to Mark off this hour on the Bob Tuscan Show. We got one nice long segment with him to finish things off for this hour. And the next hour, we'll have open lines. We'll talk homeschooling and unschooling and all that fun stuff and so much more. But, Mark, we were just about to bring up the Liberty. And we can never forget what happened with the USS Liberty. Thank goodness that there were survivors, because if there wasn't, the World War III that we've been waiting for could have happened a lot sooner.
Well, that's entirely correct, and this is what was going on at the time when the USS Liberty was attacked. We now know this. This was an attempt by Israel to get the United States involved overtly in the Six-Day War on Israel's side against Egypt by, in Israel's view, hopefully sinking the Liberty, hopefully killing everyone aboard, having the incident blamed on Egypt. Then the United States have come in militarily on the Egyptian side, and Israel's territorial gains and political gains in the Six-Day War would have been far greater than they were. That was what was behind this whole thing. And as you look at this tragedy, it is absolutely amazing that despite the fact that, years later, Admiral Thomas Moorer, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under Ronald Reagan, Dean Rusk, the former Secretary of State under John Kennedy, and last but not least, the late Richard Helms, who was our ambassador to Iran and himself the former head of the Central Intelligence Agency, all went on record as saying that Israel's attack on the Liberty was deliberate. It was not a case of mistaken identity, as Israel claimed. And between what was said by Admiral Moorer and Dean Rusk and Ambassador Helms, and of course what the Liberty eyewitnesses have told us about what happened that day, including Phil Turney, our mutual friend Phil Turney, it's obvious what Israel did and why they did it and that they lied about it. Well, when you look at all of these different activities, again, the Levant affair, the Kennedy assassination, the USS Liberty tragedy, the Pollard and IPAC spy cases, and the Promise affair, all the rest of it, the point is that people like Patrick Clausen are a part of a network of pro-Israel, pro-Zionist operatives in this country, influencing our government and media. And these people, as far as I'm concerned, and let's use the T word, are committing treason. They are committing treason. And in Clausen's estimation, in regard to the statements he has made publicly, the statements he's made your show, Bob, it's abundantly clear that he thinks that we need to do whatever it takes to get war with Iran started, to let them fire the first shot. We wanted to quote Roosevelt's Secretary of War, Henry Stimson, on this, to make it look good. You know, this is what's happened here. This is what is going on here. And the fact of the matter is that there will be this much more death, this much more tragedy, this much more borrowed money to fund this lunacy, and this much more blowback. But the bad news for the Israeli lobby and for their American supporters in this country is this. Between the fact that the United States is overextended militarily and the fact that Vladimir Putin of Russia, among others, is sending signs that he may not just sit there and let us play in his backyard any longer this time, and the fact that there would be a worldwide blowback against the United States if this war with Iran happens, the likes of which we have never seen, I think this will at some juncture be the end of Israel and be the end of the Israeli lobby in the United States as we know it. Because we've not seen at any point since the end of the Second World War anything but massive American public support for Israel, because most of our people don't know any better. That's the way they've been taught to think. They're not aware of any of the things that we've been talking about on this show. They've never heard of this stuff for obvious reasons. Their sources of information are all controlled. But the fact of the matter is that there are two things happening. Your show is a part of this, Bob. RBN is a part of this. What Mark Glenn and I are doing at The Ugly Truth is a part of this. And what Mike Piper writes about is a part of this, and so forth and so on. We are all involved in exposing these guys through time, not simply to a greater segment in the United States that is listening to what we're talking about, but just to put this into perspective and what I'm now doing in international media. About once a week, it seems, I'm making my way to Nader Talib's show in Iran, where we talk about all kinds of things. And he is a very world-famous Iranian film producer. The television show that he has on Channel 4 in Tehran is seen regularly, each episode, each segment, by somewhere between 5 and 10 million people. And that 5 to 10 million people, based upon the mail that I get after these shows, some of the folks watching this stuff are not living in Iran. They're living elsewhere in the Middle East, or they're in Europe, or they're in Africa. The point is that, the old RBN, American Free Press constituency, which is a very fine one and has a good message. The responsible people who've worked for those outlets have a good message. But the fact is that what is scaring the Israeli lobby now, and it's behind this Zionist attempts to get press television in Iran shut down in terms of cable packages around the world, is that as more people are finding out about this stuff, Israel's public relations image is plummeting in the world. And at some point, the ruse that Israel has been able to keep up in this country, that they are our ally and our only ally in the Middle East, and that our interests are their interests, and so forth and so on, eventually, the rest of the world has figured out that that's a lie. The danger for Israel comes when our own people domestically figure out that it's a lie, enough of them, that there will be, shall be, a domestic insurrection in this country against these Israeli agents operating as representatives of the American government when they're representatives of Israel. It's going to take a lot more deaths of Americans, unfortunately. It's going to take a lot more catastrophe for us economically for that boiling point to be reached. But the idiocy of going to war with Iran, and with all of the spin-off implications and consequences of this, that the Israeli lobby and their agents are miscalculating on, if I'm right, when it happens, and with all the things that transpire out of that, this thing is going to blow up in the tribe's face. It's going to blow up in the Israeli lobby's face in this country in a way that it has not up to this point. So and the point being that alternative media, shows like the Bob Tuscan Show on RBN, shows like Mark Dankos America on the Ugly Truth Radio Network, and what Hisham Talawi is doing on your network, and Phil Turney and Deanna Spingola and so forth, the more people we're reaching, that begins to increase exponentially because of what Mark Glenn and I are now doing in international media, where from time to time we will reference some of you that we think are the better people in the American populist movement, in the American freedom movement, that the international community needs to be monitoring, needs to be paying attention to. The more that that happens, the more in which these shows are being distributed because of technology to audiences all in proportion to what we would ever have thought we would have reached even 10 years ago, the multiplying effect is causing the lobby, even with the billions of dollars that are at their disposal, even with agents like John Hagee of Cornerstone Church and Good News for Israel at their disposal, that all of these little people, it seems, are coming out of the woodwork, and collectively we're just starting to have an impact that is going to shake up the mix in a way that was never anticipated by our enemies in the past.
Do you consider RT to be a part of this, or are they more of a wild card?
Russia Today?
Yeah, because you know, I have mixed feelings about them. I see what Press TV and the Fars News Network are doing, and I see them as taking it a step further to the truth.
Yes, I'm editorializing here. Of course, I'm a lot closer to Press Television in Iran than I am Russia Today for several reasons. One, I lived in Iran years ago. My relationships are far more voluminous and far closer with all kinds of Press TV people than they are with Russia Today. And while I think there is some overlap in the perspective that those two respective networks have, I frankly would go out on a limb and say that I think Press Television Iran is probably the finest avant-garde television network in the world in what it covers. Not simply as it impacts their relationship with this country and with Zionism, but they understand us a lot better than we understand they.
Yeah.
And we understand them.
And that makes sense.
And it's a situation where when you look at the absolutely panicked response of people like the French Jew, Michael DeRozan, the head of, I think they call this group, I always get them confused. It's either Intelsat or Utelsat, where DeRozan is a Zionist Jew.
They tried to kick Press TV off.
They've been successful. DeRozan was successful in getting them kicked off of that particular satellite group. He's had some impact. And the tribe has had some impact in South Africa.
Mark, we're going to have to do this again. We're all out of time for this hour. Thanks, Mark Dankoff, ladies and gentlemen, love his work. We'll do it again, as I said. We'll be back with hour number two in just a moment.
God bless.
The Bob Tuscan Show.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898.